Hallelujah. I think any of us that's known the Lord very long knows that song to be very true. Amen. Yes, I like that part when he said, "You've been to the doctor," and he just shook his head. Amen. That's pretty much what they did with Ashley, and that's been what? How long now? 3 years. 3 years, September, November will be 3 years. Amen. And they said, just get your video camera and make the best memories you can for that baby. Hallelujah. God likes to work. I believe when the doctor said that, I believe the Lord said, watch this. Yeah. Just watch this. When you've done all you can do, let me have it. Amen. It's kind of like it was when he fed the 5,000. He said, what is there here? What are we going to feed these people? And they said, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? He said, well, just give it to me. Amen. Amen. Woo! Just give me what you got and let me work on it a little bit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't ever count it out with God. You know what I said? Don't ever give up on the situation with God. Don't give up on the marriage when God's in the scene. Amen. Don't ever give up. Don't give up on the children when you know God. Don't give up on the finance when you know God. Just keep trusting Him. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 tonight. Simple little thought, and I won't be very long. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to look at several things in the Bible tonight that are hard to understand. Hard to understand. How many of you have run across some of those passages that just really don't make sense? You know why? Sometimes I think the Bible is totally opposite in what it teaches than the philosophy of the world. The world looks at things one way, and the Bible looks at things a totally different way. You see, that's why the world thinks we're crazy. That's why they think we're a bunch of nuts. Amen. There'll be some scoffers in the parade. Oh, I guarantee you there are every year. There'll be some people in our parking lot as soon as the preaching starts. They're not going to like it. One guy said last year, maybe it was year before last, I think it was last year, he said, I can't believe they let them get away with that. I said, we own the place. He shut up real quick, amen? But this world thinks we're nuts for hollering about a Savior who kept us out of hell, amen? Amen. Well, they're hollering about everything else in the world, and I got a good mind. Brother Allen gave me an email thing and about the college football recruits, and it's hilarious, amen? But people were all up in the air yesterday over the first day of football season and packed those stadiums out and screamed and hollered and painted themselves red and black or yellow and gold and all that, black and gold. And brother, get all into that stuff. Well, I think that's nuts. Yeah. Amen. I think that's nuts. I wonder what they'd think if we painted ourselves and got up on top of the bus. Amen. Amen. You preach and I'll go, oh, amen. They're all right. Amen. Come on, can I get a witness? Wouldn't that make a difference? Amen. In high school, Friday night before a football game, you know what they have? Pep rally. And you know what they do? Them cheerleaders get absolutely, we used to go every Friday, it's just a good thing to get out of class, amen? You go sit on the bleachers in the gym, and them cheerleaders would get out there and cheer, and boy, them cheers where you're supposed to holler. They'd get mad if you wouldn't holler. Then they come in here and look at us like we're a bunch of clowns, amen? Amen. Don't you come in here with no pom-poms, amen? But what the Bible teaches and what the world thinks is totally opposite. One, they're contrary one to the other. That's why an unsaved man has a hard time understanding the Bible. Amen? Amen. Tonight I want to look at just probably 3 or 4 different passages of Scripture that is opposite from what the world teaches or what we think. The first one I want to show you is this. The way to live according to the Bible, the way to live and really live it up is to die. The way to live and to really live it up is to die. Now, that don't make sense to the flesh, does it? I mean, if somebody were to come up to you and say, hey, man, you want to have a great time and a great life? Kill yourself. Well, it got quiet. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, look at verse number 31. Paul said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Watch what he said. I die daily. I die daily. Wow. Listen, for us to live in Christ the way we ought to live in Christ, there's a part of us that has to die. Amen. There is a part of us that has to die. Listen, when you got saved, your soul was saved, not your flesh. So you've got to crucify that flesh day in and day out. Is that right? And by the way, that flesh dies hard. Amen. It's hard to kill. It's like a chicken, man. When I was a kid, my grandmother had chickens in the yard. And if we was going to have chicken for supper, she didn't run down to Kroger. She run out in the yard. And she called them pullets. She called them, I'm going to go out there and catch one of them pullets, and we're going to have fried chicken. That meant it's fixing to get good around the house. But she'd go out there and snatch up one of them pullets. I figured out why they called it pullets. Because as soon as she called it, she pulled its head off, amen? And she would. She'd wring that chicken. Y'all ever seen that done? She'd wring that chicken's neck, and she'd still have its head in her hand. He's amen in his papa. And she'd throw that chicken on the ground, its head totally separated from his body, and it'd flop. I used to love that. That was the funniest thing in the world to me. Watch that chicken flop around the yard without no head. What it was doing, it was dying hard, amen? And that flesh dies hard. In Romans chapter number 7, Paul gives a whole portion of Scripture talking about that, how that now that he's saved, but there's a war going on in his members, amen? And that's that spiritual man fighting that carnal man. Amen. But for us to live and for us to have life, like Jesus said, and to have it more abundantly, we've got to die to self. In other words, it's no longer what I want, but what Christ wants. It's no longer what pleases me, but what pleases Him. Yes, amen. Yes. We struggle quite often as Christians because we will not give in to the Spirit, amen. Yield to the Spirit, amen. And crucify our flesh. Yes, amen. Do you know why it is so hard to stay faithful to church? Because we're carnal. Yes, right. Amen. 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 We're carnal. Do you know why it is so hard to hold your attention through a 45-minute sermon? American Idol don't have that problem with you. Amen. Your favorite movie don't have that problem with you. Why? Your flesh is enjoying that. So when you come to church and the sermon and the singing is boring to you, that means there's more flesh there than there is spirit. Are we okay? We need to die to self. And the way to live is to die. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter number 2. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians chapter number 2. And look with me at verse number 20. This shows this very simply in Galatians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 20. I need to turn another page. Give me a second. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Watch this. Nevertheless, I live. He said, I'm crucified. Crucified, that means death, friend. Any way you look at it, upways, downways, sideways, crossways, slantways, it means death. He said, I died with Christ. When we're saved and we follow the Lord's command in believer's baptism, when we put that body down in that water, in that baptistry, do you know what that represents? Come on, talk to me, church. That represents death. This is a representation physically and outwardly what has taken place in our hearts, literally, or inside of us spiritually. Amen. That is our flesh saying, I died with Christ. He said in verse number 20, I'm crucified with Christ. I love this next statement. Nevertheless, I live. Man, did you know I didn't? Can you finish reading that verse? Did you know I didn't even get to start living till I got saved? I was walking around the body of flesh, and I was sucking in and blowing out and breathing God's air, but I wasn't yet living. There was a part of me that was dead. That part of me who God intended for me to be did not yet exist. Ephesians chapter 2, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. So anyway, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now like this, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I like that. He said, I died daily. Paul said, I put this flesh down every day, every day, every day. I wonder how many of you struggle with yourself more than you struggle with anybody else.
Yes, sir.
I am my biggest spiritual problem.
Yes, sir.
And I guarantee you, you are yours.
Yes.
Somebody said, I quit going to church because of so-and-so. No, you didn't. You quit because of you.
Yes, amen.
You didn't quit going to church because somebody talked about you. You quit going to church because you can't take it. You quit going to church because you're not spiritual enough to let that roll off your back like water off a duck's back and go on for the honor and glory of God. That's because there's more flesh about you than there is spirit about you. Are we okay? He said, I die daily. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. It's Christ that liveth. That's what that scripture verse means, where it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. There is a part of me that took up dwelling, he's called the Holy Spirit, that moved into my heart when I got saved, that is greater than all my flesh. Would you agree with that? Now, why is it that we struggle as Christians, if that's the case? If the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and he's all that powerful, anybody know? I still have a will. I still have a will. God's not following me around and every time I try to do something wrong, putting me in some kind of figure four or a hold or something. He don't have a shock collar. That's what we do with them old coon dogs when they start running a deer. Old Chase has got one. Amen. No, that's a tracking collar, ain't it? No, you got a shock collar. That's right. That old dog starts doing something it doesn't, shouldn't. Boy, he light it up. Meh. I mean, boy, make the hair stand up on the back of his neck. That'd be good if the Holy Spirit had something like that on us, wouldn't it? Every one of us would come in church every service with our hair standing straight out, wouldn't we? Amen. Holy Ghost be saying, this thing needs batteries. Amen. I've wore it out on this crowd. Amen. But it just doesn't work that way. We have a conscience and we're convicted when we begin to sin. Amen. Our problem is which one do we have the volume turned up the loudest on? The flesh or the spirit? They're both still there. Take some time. I won't go there tonight because I got three or four more things. But take some time and read Romans chapter number 7. I mean, it's some tongue-twisting scripture, buddy. But I'll never forget the first time I saw that. And I went, wow! Because I'd go days and think, I can't even be saved and think what I just thought. There ain't no way. I couldn't be saved and lose my temper like I just did. Amen? And boy, I read Romans chapter number 7. I thought, wow, Paul, you was wicked too. Amen. You say, that's a bad thing. No, read it.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, when I want to do good, I can't.
Right.
Amen. He said, you know what he said? He said, I find that evil's present with me.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one, Brother Freddie, until I read that. The way to live is to die.
Yeah.
Every day you're going to have to get up and look in that mirror and say, hey, bud, you ain't in control today.
Right.
We're giving the Lord the wheel.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit's going to lead us through this day. Because if he don't, your flesh is going to lead you through this day.
That's right.
And your flesh, even though you're saved, your flesh will not always lead you in the right direction.
Amen.
He'll lead you down a bad path. The way to live is to die. And I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about a spiritual death. Amen.
Yes.
I'm not talking about going home. Don't go home and say, I'm going to write my will and get the shotgun loaded. I'm fixing to blow my head off because the preacher said it. No, he did not. But we ought to crucify our flesh every day. Do you know why fasting's so hard? Anybody ever fast? Wouldn't hurt some of you. Amen. You know why a lot of these new Bibles, almost all the new Bibles, take that out of there. Where Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, they leave it at prayer. Amen. That's a powerful tool the devil don't want us to have. My wife stays on me because I don't eat right. I mean, when I do sit down and eat, I eat plenty, but I can go all day without it. When we're off together, like yesterday, I said, you let me know if you get hungry. Because I don't know. I don't know why I'm like that. And I just lost my whole train of thought.
But when you go to fast, it's all right.
Oh, thank you, Brother Robbie. You've heard this before. But if I make up my mind or I agree that I'm going to fast with somebody, over a situation that's gone. I wake up and everything smells like sausage and biscuit. I go to feed the dog and go, How many y'all, who knows what I'm talking about? Get a bucket of feed and carry out the horse. And I'm like, man, I mean, everything looks good. It does. You know why? Your flesh is going, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Don't fast. Eat. You need to eat. You're hungry. You're starving to death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what'll happen? You know what I go every day, all day without eating. I can go to supper time and then eat like a pig. But boy, if I'm fasting, headache. I mean, man, because I hadn't ate. Boy, that's that flesh. You know what it's doing? It's screaming. It's screaming because I'm crucifying it. I'm punishing it. I'm putting it down. Why? That Christ may live in me. Amen? So the way to live is to die. Y'all ain't going to like this one a whole lot, but go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. And since you ain't going to like it, I may stay here a little while. Luke chapter number 6. Usually the parts you don't like help you the most.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You know, when you was a kid, Hayden, he spent the night with us the other night, and he was allergic to some cat. He'd been around somebody that had a cat. That kid was broke out all over. And we was afraid to go sleep, afraid his tongue would swell up in his throat and all that. And we just worried grandparents, I guess, you know. And I thought if something bad's going to happen to him, I'd rather him be at home. I don't want nothing to happen to him, but I sure don't want to happen when it was with me, amen? So we decided before we went to sleep, we better give him some medicine. We had medicine in the bed. We had medicine all over my pillow. We had medicine running up and down our arms. We had medicine everywhere, but in his mouth. You know why? Because it ain't good. It ain't good. You don't like it, but it'll help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? You don't like it, but the medicine that'll help you the most tastes the worst. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Remember that cough syrup you took when you was a kid tastes like cherry Kool-Aid? And you'd cough your head off. It didn't help a lick. But you get that stuff that tastes like Jack Daniels? I don't know what Jack Daniels tastes like. Brother Freddie told me. They have to hold your nose and pour it down. You go, Next thing you know, that stuff's breaking up. Amen? Bad illustration. But sometimes these parts of the Bible that don't just, them things will help us if we'll let it. Amen? Where did I tell y'all to turn? Luke chapter number 6. Look, Brother Fred said, I ain't telling you. Look at verse number 38. Luke chapter number 6. You ought to highlight this in your Bible. Somebody say that first word with me.
Give.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Wow. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I can see as plain as I can see that Bible right there, Jay Bice preaching on that passage of Scripture. Now, some of you may have remembered, and he talked about that feed sack. And they'd go to the mill and get the feed, and the guy liked them, and they were good customers. And he would fill that sack up, and then he would grab it, and he would shake it like that. And all that feed would settle, and you could get a bunch more. And he'd fill it up again, and he'd shake it down again. You know what he was doing? He is giving them all that their sack would hold. Amen? And the Lord said, hey, the way to get is to give.
Yeah.
Amen. The way to live is to die. The way to get is to give. The world's philosophy says the way to get is to keep.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what a guy told me? A guy who pastors several millionaires, has several millionaires in his church. He said they're the worst givers he has. They're the worst. He said they're the most stingiest people there is. Amen. When we bought this building, that entire church, the majority of it, wanted to give us this place. Wouldn't that have been a blessing?
Yeah.
But the ones with the moolah said, we got to have some money.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, this world's taught us is the way that to prosper is to put it up where it's gaining interest.
Yeah.
Amen. The way to prosper is to invest.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. It's just depending on what you're investing in.
Yeah.
Amen. I think my checking account draws like 4% interest. I wonder what kind of interest God's checking account pays. Amen. I don't see how we can literally expect God to bless us monetarily, financially, if we're not giving to Him. I knew you'd get quiet in here. Amen. So I don't know why we struggle so bad. Are you robbing God? Are you? Are you robbing God? Preacher, pray that our finances will turn around. Are you robbing God? Listen, somebody made this statement, and they said, we've been out of work so long, we want to start tithing again, but we're so far behind, we got to get caught up first. You will never, ever, ever catch up. You won't. It won't happen. You will never catch up. Because you cannot keep God's money. If you're saved, He will not let you keep His money. Amen. Transmission man's going to get it. Amen. Doctor's going to get it. Maybe even the veterinarian's going to get it. But you ain't. Amen. The way to get is to give. Brother Roger Cole, one of the men at White Oak Springs Baptist Church, taught me that principle right after I got saved. Wasn't long. I'd get mad at Sister Angie because she put a $20 bill in the plate. I almost reached and grabbed it out one Sunday. And I was talking to Roger about it. I said, my wife putting too much money in the offering. He said, how much is she putting in there, Ed? I said, she put $20 in there last week. He said, well, how much do you make? And I told him, he said, you should have put a little more. I said, why? He said, you ain't even got up to your tithe yet, boy. And he started teaching me the principle of giving God 10%. Yes, and then he told me that wasn't giving.
Yeah.
He said, that's not even giving. He said, Eddie, that's God's already.
Yeah.
He said, I promise you. He said, don't just do this for a week or two. He said, make this a principle for your life.
Amen.
He said, before you pay a single bill, give God His.
That's right. Amen.
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 He said, and you watch. And you know what? God's blessed us. Amen. I don't know how it all works out, but God works it out. Amen. It works out. The way to live is to die, but the way to get is to give. Amen. The way to get is to give. Listen, we look at it, you know, the Bible said the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The way we look at it is, oh Lord, here comes that offering plate. Wow. Why don't we look at it in the right way? And I cannot believe God let me work this week. I cannot believe He gave me the physical ability to get up, get in my car, and go do whatever my job was. I can't believe that God allowed me to have a paycheck this week. Now I get to take part of that and thank Him for it. Amen. I get to honor God with what God's given me. Amen. Are you listening? At one point, Brother Charles, we had 28 families out of work in our church. No job. No job. Struggling. Those of us who are getting a paycheck, we started praying for those who weren't. Every week in that prayer room, remember the men without work. Remember the men without work. And people started getting jobs. They'd come in and say, hallelujah, preacher, I got a job. Hallelujah, preacher, I start a job next week. Blah, 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 blah. And I said this the other day, and I'm just going to say it again. Why isn't there a change in the offerings? If God gave the job, where's the increase? Do you want to keep the job? I mean, do you want it to last? We better start doing what we know is biblically right. Amen. And God may just bless you to death. Amen. You remember the little widow and her mite? Them big shots come by throwing their bills in. She threw in her little mite. He made a bigger deal over her than he did them. They were show-offs is what they were. Oh, I've had it happen here. People say, oh, I'll help you. I'll help you buy that property if you'll name this building after me. You out of your mind. Of course, if you'll pay this one off, we'll talk. Amen. The way to give is to get. A way to get is to give. How many of you know that principle to be true in your own life? You've seen it work over and over and over and over again. It works, friend. It works. Some of you men ought to go home, sit down with your wife and say, honey, I don't know how this thing's going to work out, but I'm going to trust God and we're going to start tithing. We're going to start giving at least 10% of our income. And you'll you know what will happen? You'll start to see the blessings of it. And you know what you'll want to do then? You'll want to start giving an offering. That 10% is not an offering. That's God's already. You'll start wanting to do more than that. You may even want to fill out a faith promise missions card, and help us support missionaries. Amen. By the way, here in a few weeks, I'm going to start asking you some questions. I'm going to start asking for people who will commit to about $5 a week altogether, some for our building fund. We've got to start making plans for our future, and some for Brother Eric Knight. He's our missionary, and I think we ought to support him more than we're supporting any of the others. Amen. I think we ought to be good. That church he left in Texas, sending him $400 or $500 a month, and we're sending him $50. We can do better than that. Amen. 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 And I'm going to challenge you. You know, we know what that's going to be? That's not going to be asking for your tithe. That's going to be an offering. Amen. Amen. The way to get is to give. I promise you, I know it sounds crazy. It's because life in the world has taught us right the opposite. Amen. My wife and I have actually been sitting at the CPA, and they looked down at the paper and said, you gave how much to the church last year? You made this much and you gave? They don't understand that.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's why we keep good records. Amen. Because they don't. They don't comprehend it. But God's been good to us.
Right.
Amen. And we don't mind giving it back to Him. We don't mind when the love offering comes. When we get a chance to help somebody. Help buy this wheelchair. Help buy that van that got this man to church tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But that's a blessing to be able to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The roles could be reversed.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You could be in that chair.
That's right. That's right.
But instead, God allowed you to work.
Amen.
Have a job. Be able to help somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
The way to live is to die. The way to give, or to get, is to give. The way to get is to give. Let me give you another one. Ephesians chapter number 5. The way to be filled is to be empty. The way to be filled is to be empty. Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. This goes right along with dying to self. He said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. But be ye filled with the Spirit. Listen, we cannot be filled with the Spirit until we were empty of ourselves. Amen. Let me say it again. We cannot be filled with the Spirit until we are empty of ourselves. We ought to spend some time before we come to church emptying ourselves. Amen. Emptying ourselves. People leave churches all the time and they use this excuse. We're not being fed. I grew up around here. I don't think that's true. In most churches like our faith, especially independent Baptists, they're being fed.
Yeah.
They're being fed. There may be some cases where there really ain't, but they're being fed. They're just not eating.
Yeah.
I watched the Andy Griffin show the other night. Brother Charles, you might remember this one where Aunt B went out of town and Andy was staying home. Opie went off on a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout trip, and Andy's going to get to stay home by himself, and Goober comes to stay with him. And Andy is out, and Goober took a phone call from Miss Helen Crump, Andy's girlfriend, and she wanted Andy to come over for supper. And then Howard Sprague called for something. I forgot what he called for. Oh, it changed the young couples meeting at the church. Well, Andy gets home, and Goober's got a big supper, spaghetti fixed. And Andy eats 3 plates of spaghetti and gets real full.
Yeah.
Then Goober remembers, oh, you got a phone call. Howard Sprague's invited you to supper. And Helen called and said the youth meeting had been changed. So Andy goes to Howard Sprague's and tells him he's there for supper. They didn't even know, they didn't even invite him. So they go in the kitchen and warm up leftovers. You know what it was? Spaghetti. So now it's his second supper. He gets done with that. He goes home. And the phone rings. And it's Helen, and she's mad. Where are you? We've been waiting for over an hour. So he has to go to Helen's house. Guess what Helen fixed? Spaghetti. After that first three plates of spaghetti, there was no desire left for spaghetti, amen, or anything else for that. What I'm saying is we come to church like Andy. We've already ate and ate and ate and ate and ate on what the world's got, and we come in here and we're so full, we're not hungry. The Sunday school lesson don't interest us. The singing don't interest us. Why? We are full already. Do you ever come to church and really you have this thought, this is the way your thinking's going? Boy, I really need something tonight. Have you?
Amen.
Have you ever just sat in the pew as the service began and go, Lord, have something just for me. I need something.
Amen.
Come to church hungry. I remember when I first got saved, and it was right after, shortly after I got saved, when Brother Earl Partain became our pastor. I'll never forget. I loved the pastor we had when we got saved. We'd only been saved, me and my wife, just a few weeks, and the church split. And the pastor left. Then we got another pastor, and I liked him all right. But boy, when Brother Earl Partain came, Brother Freddie, I thought that was the greatest preaching I'd ever heard in my life. I'll never forget it. And I'd sit on the front row, and scoot over, give me some room. I'd sit on the front row with my rear end hanging off the edge of the seat like that right there. I mean, buddy, it was that good.
Yeah.
But I noticed how people do. That's how they start off. I didn't tell you to get back over. I don't need much room. They start off like that right there. And then it's like this, and then it's like this, and then it's like this. Y'all getting the picture?
Yeah.
Further and further and further and further and further back.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's wrong sitting in the back, but it's wrong not to be interested in what's going on up here.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The only way, listen to me, teenagers. Adults too. The only way that you would be texting during church is because you're not interested in what's going on.
Amen.
You say, people don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. Am I right about it, Brother James? Y'all be surprised what, y'all forget he's up there, don't you? I've had men tell me, you wouldn't believe what you see sitting in that balcony.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
May the Lord just remind you every service, you're being watched. Amen. Yeah. And he's not up there to watch you. He's up there running the sound booth. But you can't help but see. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
The way to be filled is to be empty. Amen. When I eat supper every night, whatever we eat, I love it. Because 9 times out of 10, I've gone all day without eating.
Amen.
Amen. The way to live is to die. The way to get is to give. The way to be filled is to be empty. I wonder if you'll come back Wednesday night. People say, well, we just so rushed and rushed and rushed. Well, you don't have no problem getting to the ball field. Amen. Wonder if you'll come in hungry Wednesday night. Amen. Wonder if you come in hungry Sunday morning. People look like, and maybe it's just me, I guess the devil plays with the preacher's mind, but maybe it's the devil saying, they're tired of this Ten Commandments stuff, go on something else. Man, how could you get tired of that? Amen. The Bible's the Bible. Amen. I like it all. Amen. Let's make sure we come to church hungry. Man, sometimes I come in here and I'm so empty, and them young'uns get up and start singing. Whew. Man, you know what that is? It's like a milkshake or a blizzard from Dairy Queen, man.
Amen.
Amen. It's satisfying.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Lastly, and I'm done, Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. I was going to talk about that little widow and her oil. She kept emptying and God kept filling, didn't he?
Yeah.
She had to keep going borrowing more vessels and pots and pans to put it in because she kept pouring it out. Matthew chapter number 18. Last one and I'm done. And here's the thought. The way to go up is to go down. The way to go up is to go down. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 3. I'll just start at verse number 1. The Bible said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I love this. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I like that. In verse number 1, here's their question. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's the most important around here? A lady told me this week, I'm trying to figure out how to say this because this is going on the internet, but a lady told me this week that she works with a lady, and the lady that she works with has to at least several times a day remind everybody in the office that she is the supervisor. If a customer comes in and has a question, I'm the supervisor, whether she knows the answer to their need or not. They're more interested in a title than they are the job. And I said, well, what does she do? Go and get stuff out of the boss's car for her. I mean, you know, really no big job. She just got tired.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Somebody said, I want to be a deacon. Why? I want to be assistant pastor. Why? I want to be a youth pastor. Why? I want to be a bus captain. Why? Boy, I can thin out bus captains real quick.
Yes, sir.
That comes say, preacher, I want to be a bus captain. Okay, get on so-and-so's bus and help them for about 3 months.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I want to be a captain. No, you don't. You want to get recognized on Sunday night for having the most on your bus.
Yes,
sir. And by the way, if that's all you want, you ain't going to have the most on your bus.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It ain't about the title. Amen. The way to go up is to go down. John said, I must decrease.
Yes, sir.
That he might increase.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
In other words, he said, I got to get small so Jesus can get big.
Yes.
You see, when Jesus came on the scene, John was the man.
Yep.
John was the one baptizing converts.
Yep.
And John said, whoa, he's here now. It's time for me to bow down. It's time they quit looking to me and start looking to him.
Yes, bro.
Amen. John had the right idea, didn't he?
Yes, bro.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not about us.
Right.
It's not about us. It's not about whose name's out there on that sign.
Amen. Bro.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know it doesn't bother me whether my name's on that sign out there or not? It really ain't. I don't care.
Amen.
I really don't. Y'all can put Brother Charles's on there if you want to. I'm still preaching next Sunday. Amen. It's not about a title. It's not about a position. It's about what we're doing for God. Are you listening? I don't care who wins somebody to Christ next Saturday night parade. As long as somebody gets saved. Amen. I was in a meeting in New York. I was to preach and another preacher was to preach. Well, I preached. They had an altar call, and during the altar call, it got on. And people started coming to the altar for about an hour. Did you know that preacher got mad? He didn't say it to me. He said it to somebody else. I can't believe they brought me all the way out here, and I didn't even get to preach. Who cares? Who cares? If the roles would have been reversed, and he'd have preached, and God moved, and I didn't get to preach my little message, brother, I'd rejoice. Amen. When God is working and doing things in people's lives, and you're mad because you didn't get a pat on the back, you need to come down a notch or two. Amen. You need to come down a notch or two. You know what? If Brother Steve Swofford calls me tomorrow, he's a pastor right down here at Fullerville, and he says we had 15 saved yesterday, I'm going to shout the victory with him, brother. Amen. We cannot win them all. And if we did, we couldn't hold them all. Hallelujah. We're on the same side, friend. We need to humble ourselves. Amen. You wouldn't believe some of these preachers I run into. I'm preaching a lot of meetings where there's two preachers every service. They worry about who's going to preach first, who's going to preach second. Me and Brother Tony Shirley do that a lot. And you know what we do? He said, you want to go first? You want me to go first? I said, well, what you preaching? Amen. And we don't decide who wants to go first. We judge it by what we're preaching, what needs to go last, what would be best first. Amen. I don't care, and he don't care. Amen. Makes no difference to us. What's it matter? Amen. Amen. It don't matter who's the captain on that bus, as long as that kid's in heaven when we get there. Amen. It don't matter who's teaching that class, as long as they got some Bible in them when they leave here. Yeah. Amen. It don't matter who's on top of that bus next Saturday, as long as somebody hears the gospel. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus called that little child. You know what a child has or has lack of? I'm done. You know what's missing in the average child's heart? Pride. Guarantee you these kids down here will hand out more. I'm just telling you. I guarantee you they'll hand out more tracts than all the adults. They always do. When they sing louder. Why? They don't care what you think. Could you see the adult's face in here Sunday morning if I said, let's all stand up. Brother Todd, we're going to sing Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, Father. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, some of these highbrow people full of pride. Oh, I ain't singing that. A kid will. Amen. By the time that thing's over, they're doing all the gifts right here. Turning around. Amen. Amen. We ought to just try that one Sunday. I used to do that every now and then. Amen. If I were a butterfly. Y'all remember that? And we'd make the adults do it. You know what that does? That kills your pride. That brings you down a notch or two. Amen. I know people when they sing, I'm just rattling, and that means I'm really done. But I know people when we sing, I know my name is there. They wouldn't raise their hand. I don't think that's right. Why ain't it right? I think you ought to be led to do that. Man, I know my name is there.
Yeah.
Amen. Maybe what you don't know is you don't raise your hand when we sing that song. We're praying you get saved. Amen. Amen. I'm sending Brother Freddie to your house. Amen. Lead you to Christ. Amen. Sometimes this Bible teaches absolutely opposite, most of the time, what the world teaches. And what we've got to do is we've got to get our mind thinking the way God thinks, instead of the way the world thinks. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's why our economy's in such a wreck.
Amen.
That's why our government is such a wreck.
Yes, sir.
We're thinking the way the world thinks.
Yep.
We're voting the way the world thinks. And we're in the biggest mess we've ever been.
Yes, sir.
Spiritually, financially, morally, on every scale. The only place we're advanced is technology, stuff that we could do without. You could do without an iPhone. Amen. I remember when you had to stop and use payphone.
Yeah.
Amen. We was watching something on TV the other night, and a guy reached on his side and grabbed the beeper. I said, that's an old show. Amen. You can do out all that technology. But we've got rid of a thing we can't do without. And that's the Word of God.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come if you would. The way to live is to die. What was the second one? The way to get is to give. The way to be filled is to be
empty.
What was the last one? The way up
is down.
Amen. God dealing with your heart while they sing, just use the altar if you need to. Well, I tell you what, it's been good these last few weeks. I took the month of July off. I didn't go anywhere. That's the first time I've been home for a whole month in a long time. I've enjoyed it. Fixing to get cranked up and running the roads again here pretty quick. But I sure have enjoyed it. Amen. It's been good. It's been good. Yes, sir, Brother Charles. I think that'd be a wonderful thing. Men, you come. Let's gather around Brother Greg right here. Goes back to Iraq in the morning.